We acknowledge the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. This is Cheryl from Djadjawarong country.
Yes, hello everyone and welcome to episode 142 of the Beyond 90 podcast. And this is Eric Sobihano driving things once again. We are recording very late on the Catholic Easter Monday and to bring everything you need to know from the wonderful world of women's football to you. And so thanks for your support once again. So we're back to what you might say, at least in recent times, is the usual trio. So joining me is Dale Roots and Magella Card. So firstly, just because you're bigger on my screen, Madge, you and your wonderful background from the stadium in Newcastle, how has the long weekend been for you?
Lovely and lazy.
Yes.
So not really doing too much. So just went up the coast and had a bit of beach time. But had to watch the Matildas game with a Scottish person. So, they were pretty good though.
Yes,
they're also a Matildas fan. So.
Yes, well, that does help.
They were in a win-win situation.
Yes. So were they like, hey, no. Is it like lots of that?
A little bit as I got shittier and shittier.
Yes, I feel like I have been like that. Watching many games. Also, yes. And Dale, yes. How's the weekend been for you, aside from possibly sharing Magic?
I also watched that game with a number of Scotches. as was probably the best way to enjoy it, to be perfectly honest. No, it was I've had a lovely weekend. It's been lovely and calm. I was saying to Madge before we started, I had some mates around for dinner, made a big bunch of pizzas and looked after their kids. It was very wholesome. It's been good.
It's been good. Yeah. My weekend, it started on the Good Friday with me just there to support my Manly United in a men's and women's doubleheader. And then an hour before the women's kickoff, I get a call saying, can you do the commentary? There's been a mix up. I'm like, fine. And because I'm prepared for these things, I had actually brought my headset. So, you know, it ended up, well, as you'll see, and it went well for me personally, but for my employer, not so much. But that's for later. So this is episode 142, which means we talk about Matildas cap 142, Amber Nielsen. She made her Matildas debut in 2006 and played for the national team until 2009. So 13 A international appearances, and one of those very interesting non-A international appearances. Amber played in the midfield. Notably, in international tournaments, she played for Australia at the 2002 Under-19 World Cup and then at the 2008 Asian Cup, that slightly odd tournament that, you know, was held outside of the four-year cycle. And her National League history in the WNSL, played for Northern New South Wales Pride, 1999 to 2004, and then rather predictably in the Dove Newcastle Jets from 2008 to 2011. And then I think a little comeback season in 2014 before she hung up the boots. So we hope wherever she is that Amber Nielsen is doing wonderfully. Now, hot topics. Let's go to World Cup news. And my God, it's so close now. By the time this podcast gets to you, it'll be less than 100 days until the opening match. And yeah, if you're hearing this for the first time, get some tickets, go log on to the FIFA website and see what's left. But I'll just start. I'll have to do a last minute check, but I think I'm sorted. Dale and Madge, are you sorted for your tickets already, or do you need to dip into the second phase of sales?
No, I've got everything covered. In the last slot, I even went and got a sneaky England China game in Adelaide, but I'm not sure how I'll get there. But I went. But maybe I'll be in Melbourne. Maybe I can pop across.
Yeah, you can make that work.
Someone will be, you know, doing a little road trip, won't they? And so that was the last ticket I bought. I'll leave it there. That's enough.
Yes, and I like that. I like that you bought the ticket and you've said that the transportation is a problem for later, which is also my approach to this tournament.
100%. Yeah, I've got all of the tickets that I could get. I'm going to try and get, well, I am flying back from a wedding in Greece and land on the Thursday of the opening day of the tournament. So whether A, I have the funds to operate or the physical ability to operate after a 30-hour transit back from Athens, I guess we'll see. But we hopefully Beyond 90 well not hopefully Beyond 90 will be covering the tournament, so we'll be there in one form or another. But yeah, obviously there'll be roughly 30,000 tickets for that Australia Ireland game going on live on the 11th, and yeah, hopefully by the time you got this you will have had some luck with the ticketing system.
Yep, wishing everyone the best of luck. And my personal viewpoint on that Australia Ireland game, just remember, you can't have green and gold without the green. So hopefully there's a lot of Irish fans.
Yeah, I think we'll definitely be getting. I mean, like I've mentioned this to you, Eric, but my football team is like half Irish. So
yes,
it should be a big one.
It should be. Looking forward to that so much. So news. As we briefly switch to European stuff, but news from another big football tournament. Switzerland will host UEFA Women's Euro 2025. I think Cheryl very kindly linked to the count of how the votes swung out. And I mean, I kind of think we're beyond 90, the Nordic countries, Denmark, Finland, Norway, and Sweden, close to our heart, but they missed out in the final stage of voting. But they feel like I'm not as well traveled internationally as you two, but I feel like Switzerland would be a lovely place for this tournament.
I've never been to Switzerland, but I don't know if they're known for their lots of decent sized stadium, but I am completely ignorant, so I really don't know.
My only take is that it's going to be hideously expensive because Switzerland is so dear.
Yes.
I do remember paying, I think, $28 for a burger in Geneva when I was over there last time. And that was just a standard cheeseburger. But yeah, I'm just having a quick look on the Wikipedia at the moment. Basel, Bern, Geneva, Zurich, St. Gallen, Lucerne, Sion, and Thun. Former hometown of Lubo Milosevic. Former Socceroos and Newcastle Jets player. But yeah, they're not huge stadiums at all. The biggest stadium will be St. Jakob Park, which is in Basel, 38,000. But like these grounds of, if there was one country that the A-Leagues would be well placed to look at their stadia, it's definitely Switzerland. Some of the little stadia are very, very well appointed, kind of really good sizes, 10, 15, 20,000 seat stadium. So yeah, it should be interesting. It is a shame that, as you said, Eric, that the Nordics didn't get it. Mm. But yeah, I mean, Switzerland's hosted a major European tournament before in 2008. They hosted
joined with Austria.
Yeah.
And you know what? You could always just take a little trip back to France and, you know, hang out in Grenoble or hang out in Northern Italy and just, you know, go in for the day if you want to. I will also say
Switzerland, on the topic of Switzerland and things being expensive, their money is very pretty. That is a very... the numismatic aside from me, but their notes are very, very pretty. So if you do go, enjoy the beauty of their currency.
Yes, and weep as you spend.
A 500 franc note. Yes, I would like one bottle of wine. That would be $120 Australian. Thank you. Oh God,
Alex Chico would be crying when he
hears that. I'm sure he'll be importing his own.
Yes. Madge has just come up with a genius idea. Hang just outside Switzerland and come in for the games.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think that's a great idea.
Stuttgart, you got, you know, some nice, you know, Munich's not too far away. Lots of Milan, lots of great places to stay.
And this, obviously the rail there is on time and very well organized. So yeah, makes a lot of sense. I like Madge's thinking.
Yep. And that must be that Matilda's active support experience. She's come up on the spot, come up with the best way possible to enjoy this tournament. Yeah, so we've delayed this long enough, but we have to cover this. Australia 0, Scotland 1. I think we go to Madge first because she watched this with a Scottish person.
Oh, look, my main takeaway from this game was And again, I'm kind of glad that we're getting the practice at it. But there's been a few games now where I just feel like we do not handle a press well at all. Mm-hmm. I'm not a great tactician, but I can see that. Like they didn't give us much room with the ball at all. I think Gorrie and Cooney Cross both had a bit of a hard time with the pressing defence from the Scottish in midfield, and they really sort of smothered much chance for creativity happening from there. So that was my main takeaway. We just need to get more comfortable on the ball, and a lot of our passes weren't hitting because of that pressing defence, and the passes that were hitting were often hospital passes to our own players. So those are a bit disappointing, but I think because if you're an opposition team, yeah, there's been multiple games like that now where I think we've just seen the Matildas really not deal particularly well with it. So, but you know, maybe when we've got that more experienced forward line, we've got some better attacking outlets that can maybe break through that sort of tactic a bit better than the forward line that we had for this game, missing, you know, Caitlin Ford and Sam Kerr, which are would be huge outs for any team coming into the World Cup.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I mean, the biggest thing for me was that not necessarily that we played poorly, it was that Scotland played perfectly to their to their plan. The goal that they scored, I mean, the goal that they scored so early on in the first half, you had Emsley go and get the ball in the corner, pass it back to Thomas, I think it was. And then because there's such a large hole in the midfield, Cooney Cross had gone across to get the ball from Thomas. And then there's that hole for Doherty to put the prayer up, and obviously it went in. But aside from that, like, I feel like a draw would have been a perfectly fair result. It was very much like a midfield battle. There wasn't a lot of chances either way. Mary Fowler wore gloves with short sleeves, which I think should be banned, and she should be removed from all future Matildas camps.
In the room where we were watching, we were like concerned about her circulation. It's like, what's going on, Mary? What's with the gloves?
Yeah, it was a strange one. And on that, the kits. What were we thinking? Like, come on. Mm-hmm. The blue on purple was an absolute disaster class. It was a very, very tough watch for me. And you know, that wasn't great. But yeah, other than that, I think I don't necessarily think we played poorly. I think we were played very well by Scotland. Their press was relentless. They didn't give Gorrie any time on the ball. Anytime Fowler got the ball, they were straight on her heels. They were fouling tactically quite well as well, I noticed, and that obviously led to us getting frustrated, and then we were eventually just kind of taking pot shots, and it wasn't really working. But yeah, I'm sure there's plenty to learn. They'll look at the tape and they'll figure out where they've got to improve. But they will know that going into this next game against England, it's basically going to be that on steroids. So
yeah, and the other thing is, it did feel like flat's probably a bit harsh of a word, but they didn't seem to have the intensity that the Scottish team had from the get-go. And it was only after Scotland scored their goal that the team really seemed to perk up, and then we had like a flurry of chances there in the second half, which you know, was at least heartening to see. You know, we had a bunch of really good chances, and you know, there was one there, Courtney Vine, it was sort of the tap in that, you know, then that's a draw. That's like you said, the fair result. So it wasn't as though there weren't chances there for the team. But yeah, the next game will be interesting though.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But no, just so from watching, obviously I was a little bit cooked by that time, so it wasn't able to watch it. So, sounds like I would have needed to follow Dale's advice and drink several adult beverages just to get through it. Just briefly, seriously, thanks to a friend of the pod, Megan, for tweeting this out. Like, yeah, I mean, it is a great annoyance, the kid clash, but it's actually a little bit of an inclusivity issue because a reasonable amount of the population is colorblind, and that was tough. Seeing close-up photos of the two jerseys, so I mean, for those faraway shots, if you have some kind of color blindness issue, that's no good. And I think I tweeted in response, there was nothing wrong with the old FIFA Men's World Cup approach of what would this look like on a black and white television.
Really. Yeah.
I think I'm not alone saying I like big contrasts between kits. So it's, yeah, it's, I think, yeah. Yeah, just something. And of course, sorry, apologies if you already mentioned this, Dale, but yeah, it's not like that was the two first choice kits. It was,
yeah.
No.
Yeah, just.
I can only think, because, well, one, it would have been really nice for Scotland to wear their beautiful new centenary kit.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering if, look, I can only think it was some weird marketing thing that the Matildas wanted to leave wearing their for the big game against England, and the same thing that Scotland might be waiting for a different game to debut their wonderful home kit. So I fear it was probably a really bad reason. At the end of the day, but
I don't know. We see, yeah, where the three of us were now fearful of the game that from memory is played 4:45 a.m. Wednesday, Australian Eastern Standard Time, Australia versus England. Do we want to talk about that more and talk about our fears even more? Yes, England very good at the football, as we've seen recently.
England probably the second or third best team in the world at the moment. I'm fully prepared for us to lose by a number of goals at this point.
Pretty fit as well, really.
Really
so only missing Beth Mead. So
and I think the other thing is, the other point I was going to make, when you display some kind of, as I would say, you're uncomfortable under the high press, you guess who notices that? Literally everyone else that has scheduled a game against you, and then specifically Ireland, Canada, and Nigeria. So they'll be, those three teams will be poring over the footage of the Australia-Scotland game and trying to come up with their own plans. So, yeah, if you're Tilly's fan of a nervous disposition, when they play out from the back, that's probably a bit of a warning for upcoming Tilly's games. Oh, France as well.
I think for the England game as well, it still seems like there's possibly a bit of a question over Sam Kerr as well. It sounds like she's been a bit sick, as well as obviously giving her a bit of a rest given the hectic game load that she's had in her club football recently. Mm-hmm. So I don't think anyone begrudged her not playing in the Scotland game, except that we all missed out on the Sam Kirby.
Yep.
Which was unfortunate, but
highly disappointing.
Yeah. And also, I mean, Ellie Carpenter obviously sort of, being taken off fairly early, sort of obviously easing her back in and being careful with her loading. So it'll be interesting to see, exactly what lineup goes out, especially since we're missing Caitlin Ford there in that front line. It'll be interesting to see what Tony goes with.
My thoughts on the front line are pretty well documented, but I will be very, as you said, I'll be very interested to see what they think is going to be the best kind of company to join Kerr up front if she does start.
I don't know how much you saw this, but there was some consternation possibly that Sam Kerr wasn't very happy smiley when doing that little lovely thing with the Scottish Samantha Kerr.
This is just what happens when you have crazy, like, they're not as bad as Barcelona fans. I think there's an element of some of the fandoms that have been imported from the existing men's Premier League fandoms can be a little bit intense, I think, at times. And then add on top of that, Aussie fans, I think, also being a little bit unhappy that we perhaps didn't get the result that we wanted or expected against Scotland as well. Every game, I mean, fans just need to chill.
Yeah.
I mean, it's and we can all be disappointed in that we didn't get a result that we wanted, but actually that's one of the things that's starting to make me just really dislike following football, because I'm sitting there watching that Scotland game and I was like, oh, okay, so it didn't go our way. And as someone who has to sort of, well, I don't have to, and I'm doing less of it. I'm doing less and less checking of social media because you know the cavalcade of just rubbish that's going to come flowing through social media. It makes it really unenjoyable. I'm wondering who's enjoying having these sorts of reactions and just making themselves 10 times more miserable than I think really what's warranted, and then the impact that that has on players and their families and
I mean, it's parasocial in a way. It's it's not in a way, it is. It's parasocial. It's thinking that we know these people and like players or fans rather who have been around the dub long enough have probably, like, I remember the days when you would go and say good day and get a photo over the fence in the early 2010s and prior to that at the start of the dub. And you know, the Matildas have always been super accessible, and I think that that kind of feeds into this of people thinking that they know these players personally, when at the end of the day, like, they're just professional athletes there to do a job. It's not like it's an unsafe workplace. It's just, as you said, Madge, it's just people on the internet who have too much time on their hands and not enough things to do with it. Just chill. Just let players be players.
Yeah, I think it's a good point about, like, was privilege the right word? Like, there's been self-entitlement, whatever it is that's been creeping in. I know that night in Hamilton, because I think it's a similar situation for the football fans regarding accessibility, that that night in Hamilton where I got photos with all those football fans because I was just waiting for Mackenzie Barry. But like, we're lucky that we as fans were able to get photos with so many senior international footballers and have a quick chat if we want. And so, yeah, I think that's going to change. There's already been discussions of that in the WSL, because it's getting to the point where they're going to have to do something, because the days of WSL players signing all autographs or getting photos with everyone who asked for them, they're going to be over. Much over already, because of the increase in popularity, which is a great thing, but also provides challenges.
Yeah.
And I think we have even seen that, I think, with the Matildas during the Cup of Nations. They really wound it back then, and it was noticeable. And I think a lot of people were really disappointed, but I think we're going to see more and more of it. And it's definitely not going to happen at the World Cup. That type of thing is never going to happen.
They are like watertight with security when it comes to FIFA tournaments. And like, as you said, like, I've been to games in the Premier League where it's basically like a gig. Like, if you want to get a signature of a player, you have to line up like when they're going into the ground to start their session, like to start warm up. So you have to be there like 2 hours before kickoff, or you have to wait for an hour afterwards. Like, it's not like they're going to walk around the pitch at Old Trafford and sign Man United sign signatures or sign autographs for, you know, 70,000 people. It just doesn't happen. And I think, as you say, that we'll be getting to a point similar to that, most likely in the European competitions, but definitely with the Matildas, where, you know, they get held back in the change rooms and then they get put on the bus and then they all go back to the team hotel. Yeah. But as you say, I think those days of the extreme access that we were afforded as fans is probably well and truly over.
Yep.
Which is a shame. Yeah. It's a shame. But
and that said, though, it's like, and this goes for famous men's sports players as well. Just because I think that's probably kept, you know, the discourse quite nice, and that, yes, many people who have been following the dub over seasons, you know, then maybe don't feel as ready to go onto the internet and be awful. But then now we're just seeing, as that relationship and that profile grows and grows and grows, you're getting people who just don't remember that there's real human beings on the other end of comments. And we keep saying it over and over again, but it's just, come on, be kind.
Great.
Yep, that's, I think, well said, Madge. Now, switching gears, let's talk about the dub, because after all this, it's week one of A-League Women Finals. So Saturday, it's the Melbourne Derby, Melbourne City versus Melbourne Victory, 3 p.m. at Casey Fields. Would have liked a better venue, but... perhaps a venue where the pitch is in the same postcode as the standard, the filming position, but it is what it is. But anyway, that should be a great one. And then Sunday, of course, so the Melbourne Derby is an elimination game, by the way. And then Sunday, 5:45 p.m. at the wonderful Allianz Stadium, it's the Premier's Sydney FC against Western United. So I think we'll first, let's talk about the Melbourne Derby first, but just thoughts on that. I assume Melbourne City's normal home advantage means nothing.
Yeah, I think that's probably a good way of putting it. I feel like they've only played at that venue once this season. I was asking the Melbourne-based crew, and they were saying that they played there against Western Sydney. I think it was that game. Might have been the game. Caitlin Clark scored complaints. Two goals.
I remember complaints.
So yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I did look this up this week, and I thought, well, because Casey Fields is basically like Heffron Park in Sydney. It's like it's just a massive open space. Like you've got AFL fields and netball fields and the Storm train there, and Melbourne City, you've got their thing there, and there's a rugby pitch and there's cricket fields. It's like there's so much stuff. And I thought to myself, I wonder if, because I think Victoria's rugby team or second string rugby team plays out there, they have a stand and everything, but no, it's going to be played in AFL ground. So bring your telescopes, don't even bother with binoculars, bring a telescope. Mm-hmm. And yeah, good luck. It'll be interesting.
I do have a thought, and it's kind of related to Matilda's as well, but with Holly McNamara, I'm not sure she's staying in camp with the Matilda's, but she has been I'm assuming she's back on the plane back to Australia with some sort of injury, which hopefully isn't too serious. It'll be interesting. That game, I don't really know how it's going to go, to be honest. I wouldn't be able to make a confident call one way or the other. I don't think either team have been looking in fantastic form going into finals, so that actually might make it quite interesting.
I agree. I mean, City, I feel like, I mean, I said this a few weeks before the end of the regular season, but it always felt to me like Victory was the one who was going to fumble the bag after having such a good regular season. And City shipping three goals against Canberra, I think obviously Canberra needed to win that game to go through to the finals. But I just feel like Victory have lost so many pieces now, specifically with Chidiak going back to the US, that I think City, even if they don't have McNamara, I just think they've got more quality. The home ground advantage, I don't think will mean anything.
I think they definitely feel like they're the more settled team, but Victory they're that type of team that can just pull something out. Like Millionaires can pop up and just bang one in.
They've already won it from fourth. So, I mean, it's definitely a possibility.
And on that, I'm actually I don't have much interest in this. All my backup teams weren't able to get through to the finals, so it's like, oh, okay, three Melbourne teams and Sydney.
Just hope they just kick each other a lot, and then Sydney loses another grand final.
But I must say, I'm quite looking forward to the new finals format, which I think is really nice. As Brisbane Roar, the last two semi-finals, they got bundled out in after being either first or second. Second both times in the regular season. I think it is nice that that there's a little bit more of a reward for that sort of that second team getting a second chance in the final season, final series. So,
yeah, 100% agree.
Yeah, so let's move on. And yeah, I like what was said there, that the Melbourne Victory winning it from fourth in Sydney again, narrative still alive. Two teams.
I don't know if I want that purely because I know that Victorians will be extremely painful to deal with, but at the same time, it would be very funny.
Yes, it's like nothing else would be funnier. But yeah.
I mean, we've like in New South Wales, obviously we had this deal done with the last government. That government has now been turfed out at the recent state election. Now Sydney potentially losing that game would be very, very funny.
I'm trying to think of the funniest possible winning goal scorer for the other team. I mean, Carly Johnson. Carly Johnson from Western United is my early pick for former Sydney FC player. So, and from Sydney's Northern Beaches.
That's a good shout, actually.
But yeah, I mean, there's a few choices. There's a few options there because it's actually they all have at least one Sydney side of these teams. So, yeah, but I think that's the as good a segue as you'll get at this time of night into the major semi, Sydney FC versus Western United. So, form favors the Sky Blues, I think, from memory. But you know, Western, it's Western
they're
United.
They're stumbling a bit, though.
Yeah, they are stumbling. They've obviously massively exceeded expectations. So I think basically I would say Mark Torcaso has to be coach of the year from no matter what happens, I would have thought. But yeah, just as for this game, yeah, looking good for Sydney FC to you know, win and go direct to their 175th dub grand final, or at least that's what it feels like.
Yeah. It is, I mean, they're gonna have Vine coming back potentially.
Short rest,
short rest.
Long haul trip, so.
But in saying that, they've got enough quality, I think, to play without her there. They've got Rachel Lowe. They look to have Hayley back, fit and firing. They've still got a Beanie who hasn't been called up. They've got enough players to kind of patch over those cracks of her not necessarily being there. But I will find it. I would find it interesting if she plays the first game. I think that they probably start her on the bench and then bring her on if need be. Yep. Because obviously they do have that double chance, as Madge said. Mm-hmm. Western are 3 wins and 2 losses in their last 5, and Sydney have only lost once. So, I mean,
one of their wins was really a loss, but they got the win.
Yes.
Yeah, correct.
That is true. And also, they did beat Western only a few weeks prior to that, so and pretty comprehensively as well. So I wonder whether that would be kind of ringing in Mark Torcaso's ears.
And wondering whether or not Chloe Legazzo is going to be fit enough to play. I don't know if I've heard anything either way.
Yeah, neither. I haven't heard anything either. You would hope so. There you go. Eric, there's your funniest goal scorer.
Oh yes, that is exceptionally funny.
Scored in a grand final for Sydney a few seasons ago, I recall correctly.
A great goal against Perth Glory, I think it was. Mm-hmm. So, that's it. I think like we have a winner, Chloe Legazzo sticking the knife into the Sky Blues. But if you're a Sydney FC fan bothered by this, just remember that I don't care. I'll get some nice things. Touch on this briefly, but yeah, of course, the Beyond 90 alumnus Samantha Lewis wrote this very nice article for ABC about Sydney's historic A-League Women Premiership three-peat, and just reflecting the vision that Ante Juric has shown, and over several seasons how he's come in and he's thought she explains this better than I do, of course, but just he's thought further than the season he's currently coaching in, and it's been reflected in just how this squad, which gets younger and younger and younger, and it just keeps winning premierships. So I think I'd encourage that everyone reads that, because it's just being familiar, of course, covering NPL New South Wales, it's been great to see so many of those players, get the spotlight at Sydney FC. Now, just onto something that's, I think, close to both of your hearts, Akan Barron, who's played for Brisbane Roar, but Jessie Rashard has announced her retirement. It's one for those of us that get our glow-ups later in life. She made her debut, that's how we say, in her 30s, and then played for both Canberra United and Brisbane Roar in the dub with distinction, and showed that, you know, some of us don't. Some people don't lose their speed in their 30s because she was still quite fast. I don't know. Just your thoughts on how you saw Jessie's career. After playing for a million years for Belconnen, she finally got a chance.
Yeah, I think that as you say, I mean, she is one for the battlers, I guess. One for those players that work so hard at a state league level, and then eventually end up getting picked and moving into the big time. I think that if you put in as many hours and as many years as she did playing for Belconnen and playing in the ACC, then And as well as she did playing in that all-conquering Belconnen United team, then I think obviously you deserve a call up, and she really took it with both hands. It was a shame to see her move to Queensland and take up a position at the Raw, but I think that she'd always be welcome back at the club. She's definitely a Canberran at heart, and I wish her all the best in retirement. She's one of the good ones.
Yeah, I mean, totally agree. I mean, she's fabulous for these few seasons with the Raw, and absolutely, I think whenever I remember once when we were playing I think it may have been last season, and we're playing against Sydney, and Paige Satchwell was Satchwell, and we were just kind of like, put Jessie on her, because like Jessie's the only one who's got a chance of keeping up, and just that speed was a wonderful surprise to pick up from her, and just a really really solid player in defence, and will be absolutely missed in the Raw back line next season.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, but very happy that we were able to, not knowing that she was going to retire, but she did get our last Raw call player of the game in the final regular game against Perth from us. So really happy we were able to send her off with an orange.
Yes, and as I should have researched this earlier and didn't, but I'll just go on. I'm gonna try and find out if Jessie Rashard actually played in the ANZ Summer Series, because she's. It's possible.
Surely so, not.
Yeah, but yeah, I'll just find that out. Try and find out, and then makes great content. I'll just drop it in while we talk about international football. But jump in if you have anything to add, but just briefly running.
I think she's still going to be playing NPL in Queensland.
Yeah, because she has, I think you may have mentioned that in the previous podcast. She's,
yeah, I don't know if it's been announced, so I won't say it.
Okay, so, okay. We'll find out when the transfer window opens.
Mm. Yeah.
So in the CONMEBOL UEFA Women's Champions Cup, that's a mouthful, England defeated Brazil 4-2 on penalties after a 1-1 draw. Then notable international friendlies, 1-1 draw between New Zealand and Iceland. I've just remembered one of the other Queens of the Week I was meant to say. Thanks. USA defeating the Republic of Ireland by 2-0. And then just... not big countries, but an interesting sounding result. Luxembourg 5, Faroe Islands 5. Just thought I'd bring that in. We'll link to more women's international friendly results. Thanks to the good folk at Soccerway for compiling that. And yeah, it's just, I don't know if anyone, of course, the international break means these leagues are paused. So Cheryl has wonderfully linked to the tables. Also interesting note in the Scottish Women's Premier League, Jacinta Galabarashi top scorer or second in the Golden Boot race with 14 mm-hmm. goals, but 9 behind the current leader Lauren Davidson of Glasgow City. So it's at least good to see Glasgow City in that sense. Rangers have come up and they have more competition now, especially with the rise of Rangers, but good to see women's only club Glasgow City still doing well.
Also put Albania 3, North Macedonia 1 in the definitely didn't want to be part of the Yugoslavia derby over the weekend. I'm just having a quick look through here. Belarus played Russia. Not even going to get into that.
I'm going to leave that
well alone.
Good Lord.
There were a few fun ones, though. There were a few, like South Korea played Zambia. Greece played Croatia. Kosovo versus Latvia. There's a whole bunch of fun international ties. Cyprus got two wins over Armenia as well. Not sure if Claudia Chalakian played in that game.
Chalakian, I believe she was called up. By that I mean I think I saw an Instagram story of her on a plane. So I'm just going to assume.
And we do also have Montenegro versus North Macedonia and Panama versus the Dominican Republic, if that's your thing tonight.
Yes.
I love these international windows where there's literally nothing planned. lots of fun. We love that kind of stuff.
Yep. And let's briefly brush on NPL. I think Madge, and with very good reason, well-deserved, has taken a break, and I think perhaps wasn't able to catch any of the wonderful NPL Queensland competition. But I think Dale, you've at least in off mic, you've mentioned some NPL New South Wales action. So please.
Yeah. There was a whole bunch this week. We were discussing this with a friend of the show, Nick Amies, earlier in the weekend. There are a few debutants getting their first goals for Northern Tigers.
Yes.
In a 5-2 win over Emerging Jets on Sunday. There was a Friday evening game, as you were saying, Eric, that Apia took out 3-0 over Manly United. MacArthur Rams Bankstown City was an absolutely cracking game.
Yes, it was there as well. Yeah.
And Sydney Uni 2, Northwest City Spirit 4. Absolute turn up for the books for that result. Sydney Uni are 10th at the moment. So I know we're only early into the season, but if Uni would have missed the finals, that would be hilarious. But there's a long way to go. There's, what, 26 rounds this season?
26 rounds. So we have 21.
Yeah, so we've got 21 rounds, and most of those Sydney Uni will most likely have some W League players back in the squad. Yeah. Keep an eye out for my rap.
I love your rap.
Whatever makes you happy.
Yep. That makes great sense. Your happiness is first and foremost.
Yeah, you reread what you want to read, but if you'd like to read this, I will make it available.
Yes, I love Dale's NPL New South Wales raps. Chance to learn about many things, and some of them are even football related.
Oh, none of them are needed. None of them are needed knowledge. Don't even get me started. The story, the whole Darwell seasons last week was, I'm just going to fit a story in this week about the old man Banks era and how the size of milk cartons. Anyway, I've done a lot of weird reading over the last few days. It's been a great time off.
Yes. You deserve that as well. So we'll kind of update, the ACT and New South Wales, Queensland, Victoria things with the score lines, but yeah, I think it's good time to get onto our favorite segment, Queens, Kings, and Non-Binary Legends of the Week. So Madge, who have you selected this week?
I'm just gonna go with the wonderful Jessie Rashart, wishing her all the best in retirement, and yeah, just fabulous late in career boom player in for the dub, and we'd love to see it, and she will be sorely missed.
Dale, who's your selection?
Courtney Brosnan in goals for the Republic of Ireland this week. Kept the US to 2-0, which is a pretty impressive outing against the back-to-back world champions. She's been surprisingly good for Everton this season, so I've been very, very happy to see her doing so well between sticks. I want to echo what Madge said about Jess Rashart, one of the good ones, and definitely sad to see her go.
Yep, so I've kind of same big fan of Jessie Rashart and everything that she's done. So I've got three selections, and who would have thought I've had someone who's played for Canberra and an Irish woman. So my first Queen of the Week is the Queen of Blacktown, Ashley Cross, who had a very good Friday, scoring twice in Apia Leichhardt's 3-0 win over Manly United. Fun to be on the mic to call those goals for Ash from a personal level, but of course, interesting going back to the clubhouse and doing the full match, the full-time match result graphic for Manly United. So mixed feelings there. Second Queen of the Week, the one and only Denise O'Sullivan, wore the captain's armband in her 100th appearance for the Republic of Ireland. So as we covered, a 2-0 loss to the USA, but it's a great achievement, and making 100 senior appearances before your 30th birthday is something very special, but she is a very special player. My third shout out is to Michaela Foster, and the Michaela Foster Globe is another incredible thing. Started the dub season as a train on player, I think, not getting full contracted, but that was sorted out before the start of the season. Michaela Foster made her first start for New Zealand and set up the goal for Hannah Wilkinson in their 1-0 draw against Iceland. And Michaela Foster, this one of these rare players that can cross with both feet, and her crossing is incredible. So I'm looking forward to more.
I know that game was played in Turkey,
yeah,
but that surely has to be the largest distance between two competing football nations.
Yes, I think it's the largest. Yeah, you're right. That would be the largest possible one.
Yeah, surely. Greenland don't play in FIFA, so I'm going to look into that.
At least if you...
Dale's gone.
Hurt is dropped out, so That's unfortunate, but yeah, to get covered.
This is a cliffhanger for next week. Yeah,
it's a cliffhanger, yes. New Zealand Iceland, are they the two furthest away nations in FIFA? I think if you'd go by capital cities or stadiums that you'd actually use, I wonder if there's some obscure Canadian territory that would be technically further away from some other country. But yeah, going by actual venues, I think it's tough to beat.
And flight paths. I don't know if much is flying over Russia.
Well, I mean, New Zealand is famed for its birds that are unable to fly, so it would have to be very difficult.
Yes. So that's a nice way to end the podcast. Unless you two had anything to add. No. Nope. Yeah, that's good. So. Yes, it's been a long, long weekend, but we're finally done. And thanks so much for supporting us once again on the Beyond 90 podcast. On behalf of Dell Roots and Magella Card, wishing you a life full of good vibes, good tattoos, razzlers, and people who find their best selves in their 30s. See you next time.